My name is Ryan Gregg. I'm a program manager on the OneDrive and SharePoint team. My responsibility on that team is to drive the developer platform and developer adoption of OneDrive and SharePoint APIs. How many of the people in the room are developers today? Can I see you raise your hand? Cool. How many of you have done something with OneDrive or SharePoint files as a developer? Cool, not as many of you. Great. And then last question before I get started, how many of you know what Microsoft Graph is? Excellent. Okay, cool. So let's just jump in and talk about what we're... I changed the slide, but it didn't change. Here we go. So agenda for today, we're going to talk a little bit about what Microsoft Graph is, since only about half of you answered yes to that. And then I'll show a bunch of demos on how to use Microsoft Graph to access content in OneDrive and in SharePoint, and really sort of give an overview of what's available there. We'll talk about how to not only bring OneDrive and SharePoint files into your application, but give some technology previews on doing it the other way around, being able to bring your application into OneDrive. And then we'll wrap up with an API roadmap and sort of talk about where we're going next after all the things that we have already done. So what is Microsoft Graph? If you're not familiar with it, Microsoft Graph is the new single API across all of Microsoft. That really ties together a bunch of Office 365 services as well as services across the company. It lets you access a bunch of different data sources, so things like user profile, who the users, a collection of users, the groups that are defined across Office, email, files, everything. And more workloads inside the company are coming onto Graph every day. It also lets you do some neat graph things like being able to traverse data from one entity to another. So in the case of OneDrive, you can access a file, you can see who created that file or who modified that file, and then in the same REST call, actually get back that user's profile from Active Directory. You don't have to make multiple calls and have multiple round trips to the service. The other really cool thing that is included in Microsoft Graph now are the insights that are powered by the Office Graph technology or the Microsoft Graph Insights technology. Things like files trending around a user. And in the future, we'll provide things like sites trending around a user and other useful insights that we can draw based on what we know across Office 365. And then Graph finally solves this problem of different APIs and different authentication for our consumer service and our enterprise service. So as good OneDrive app integrators in the past, you had to do one whole experience and one whole code base to target OneDrive Personal. And then you had to forget everything that you had learned there and do an entirely separate code path and authentication path to get to OneDrive for Business. No longer with Microsoft Graph is that the case. You can now use a single authentication flow using OAuth 2 to get back a token, and then you can call Graph, and regardless of who signed in, you can use the same API to get to files across all the different endpoints. So beforehand, you know, we had all of these different services with all of these different APIs. If you're familiar with Exchange, you had to learn a SOAP API called EWS. They now have a modern REST API as well. If you were using SharePoint, you had to use something like JSON with a library that was either for JavaScript or C#, or you could go learn the SharePoint REST API and use that to get to files. But none of these things had any sort of consistency between them. And on the personal side, as I said before, they were completely separate APIs as well. So you had to learn all of these different APIs to be able to work with the Microsoft stack. I heard lots of feedback from you over the years of how complicated and complex and annoying that really was. So with Graph and the story that we have now, it's all simplified. And everything in Graph is aligned to the Microsoft One API REST guidelines, which if you haven't seen them, are published out on GitHub. And that is now the standard framework for how REST APIs are built at Microsoft, which provides this great level of consistency as far as approaching these APIs between Exchange and SharePoint, Intune, Active Directory, and all of the different services that are building APIs here. So Microsoft Graph API is now the best way to connect to OneDrive. If you were here last year when I was giving this talk, we said, you know, hey, there's this great OneDrive API that's available directly on SharePoint. That same API is available on consumer. But we had this thing called Microsoft Graph that knitted all these things together, but it wasn't quite fully functional for OneDrive. Over the past year, we've been working really hard on that, and as of Monday now, all of the functionality that was available in the OneDrive API is available in Microsoft Graph, which should make all of you really happy. That means things like being able to upload files that are bigger than 4 megabytes, you can now actually do through Microsoft Graph. Being able to access thumbnails for files, which before you would get an error, now that works. And all of the other functionality that is in Microsoft Graph, that was in the OneDrive API is now available through Microsoft Graph API, which means that for the first time, there's now one API to learn that connects across all of the different types of OneDrive accounts, that connects to not just OneDrive, but also SharePoint files, and that gets you to all of the other services in Office 365. So now you don't have to think about which API to use, which authentication to use, which sort of set of documentation to use. All of that is unified and simple, and you should go to graph.microsoft.com, and I will show you more. The other question that comes up a lot is, what can I do with OneDrive, or why should I integrate my app in with OneDrive? And there's really two sort of worlds that we look at right now. The first one is being able to have your app, which is using content that is created by the user, actually be able to get to those files where the user has kept them. So in the past, you could always assume that most of the user's files were available locally on their hard drive. As the amount of data has scaled up and the amount of cloud services have scaled up and more people have moved to OneDrive for Business, you can't necessarily make that assumption anymore. It's quite likely that files will be available via the OneDrive Sync client, but on devices that don't necessarily have enough hard drive space, you still need to be able to go to the cloud to get to the user's content. And if you're a service application and not a desktop client app, there's really no point in trying to upload that file again from the client back to your service if you can reach it directly across the service. Through the API that we have available, you can get access to everything really that we have to know about that file. So you can access the contents of the file, of course, the metadata that we have associated about it, things like tags on the file and other related information. You can quite easily share those files and work with shared files as well. So now through the Graph API, if you have a sharing link from a OneDrive user or a SharePoint user, you can actually access the content of that shared file through the API. You can also use our thumbnails and rich preview service. So we do a lot of work to make sure that we know how to render what files look like across all of the different files stored in Office 365. We demoed a lot of that on Monday, showing rich previews for things like Adobe Illustrator, Adobe Photoshop, and other file formats. Now your application can take advantage of that work that we've done by using our thumbnails API. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but we now have support for very high resolution thumbnails. So in the past, for an Office document, you might have asked for a thumbnail and gotten this little 120 pixel by 120 pixel literal thumbnail of the document. Now you can do much better than that. And then beyond sort of using the rich API to integrate with OneDrive, you can do things using our file picker SDKs to really quickly get to files. So if you're an app that really just wants to open a file out of OneDrive and be able to work on it and save a file back to OneDrive, you don't have to write a bunch of code, you don't have to learn all the APIs, you can just download the file picker SDK and say, pick me a file or save me a file. And we take care of drawing the user experience, we take care of the interaction model, doing the thumbnails, doing everything. And we just hand you back a URL that you can use to get to that content or to save that content into OneDrive. And then the other really great thing about keeping your files in OneDrive for your application is that the Delve Insights and the other tools that we're building based on files living in Office 365 come to life. So by storing your application content in OneDrive, well, the user content from your application in OneDrive, you can take advantage of things like Delve to surface that information and show it to other, let people discover those files. The other real advantage of keeping files in OneDrive for Business in particular is being able to build a compliant application on top of Office 365. By keeping your file content in SharePoint or in OneDrive, you automatically get all of the benefits like our compliance system, the auditing framework that's built into Office 365, enterprise sharing constraints and restrictions. And through Azure Active Directory, you also can enable advanced security scenarios like requiring multi-factor auth to get into your application. So there's really a lot of reasons. One reason is there's a bunch of content in SharePoint and OneDrive that is useful for your application, and it's really useful for your application to store data back into OneDrive and SharePoint, so it's where the users expect to see it. It follows all of the business compliance and enterprise compliance scenarios that you need to, and other users can discover that content as it makes sense. So with that said, I'm going to get all of the talking out of the way and just sort of jump into showing you guys more about what you can do using OneDrive and the Microsoft Graph API. So if you were with me in my file session yesterday, I really like this tool called Postman. And just to show that this stuff works across every device, I'm not using a Windows device. I'm using a Mac. As a developer, you should know that that doesn't really matter which platform you want to use to connect to these things because they're REST APIs. Obviously, we prefer that you use Windows. But The other thing I want to talk about is from the Graph API, if you need to, you can go to Graph Explorer, which is on graph.microsoft.com, and do almost all of what I'm doing here. The reason I'm not using Graph Explorer and I'm using Postman instead is because the Graph Explorer is a read-only experience, and I want to show you guys some demos of being able to actually write content up into the cloud. So I'm going to full screen this and zoom it in a little bit more. There's sort of three ways of being able to access files through the Microsoft Graph. The first is being able to get to the user's OneDrive, which is very simply just graph.microsoft.com, the version of a graph that you want to use, in this case v1.0, and then me, which is the signed in user's alias, and then just drive from there. And that gets you to the user's drive. As you can see, here's the response. We tell you things like, this is a OneDrive for business, it's owned by me, and some information about the quota. If you want to get to the root of that drive, you just add /root to it, and you can find out additional information. And then you can further drill in from there and get to the children of that drive and be able to see all of the different files that I have here in a nice paged response. So if there's too many files in a particular folder that you're enumerating, we'll page them back and give you 100 or 200 or whatever you ask for at a time. So that's OneDrive for Business. It's really simple. If you used the OneDrive APIs before, you know it was like a 12-step process where first you had to get an auth token, then you had to call discovery, then you got the endpoint back, then you had to go get a different auth token, and then you could finally call the API. Here, it's all one thing. You get an auth token and you call Graph, and we take care of all of that hard work behind the scenes. But let's say you want to do something else, like access another user's OneDrive for Business. You can just say users, and then their UPN or their object ID in AAD or whatever set of information you know about that user that maps into Graph. And you can make the same call and get back the same information, assuming that you as a user, as a signed in user, have access to that content. Beyond that, you can also get to groups. So if you go to Graph, you can enumerate what groups are available in Microsoft Graph. So in this case, I have the Team Vroom group, which is the group of developers who work on our project, and I can go access that group and find information about the group. But then, just like a user, I can do /drive, and wait for a second. Here is the team's drive. So this is the set of files that are available for this team, and just like before, root children gets me access to the files that are stored in that drive, in that group's drive. So very similar shape, same API that you're using here, you just address the group instead of a user, and you're able to get to the group's content as well. And then, really excitingly, what we announced yesterday is now you can get to a SharePoint team site as well on the beta endpoint. So you can do beta, SharePoint, site, drive, and get to the root content of this drive, and do children as well, and you'll see here are the files that are in my document library in my SharePoint team site. So now we have the same API that you can use to access files across OneDrive Personal, OneDrive for Business, Office Groups, and Team Sites, all together, all through Microsoft Graph, all without getting a different authentication token, all without learning a new API, all without doing anything different other than just knowing what the content is that you want to address, which hopefully is exciting to you guys because you don't have to learn all these different APIs anymore. Yeah? Yeah? Oh, well, all right. Cool. So that's sort of how to access files. That's pretty simple. Let's show you something that you couldn't do in Graph before today. So I'm going to go back to the v1.0 endpoint, and I'm going to go to my OneDrive for Business, and I'm going to upload a large file. In this case, the file isn't actually large because it's a text file, but we're going to show you the pattern for being able to create an upload session and upload content. So I'm going to Graph, me, drive root, which is the root folder, and then I'm going to use our colon syntax, which if you're not familiar with it, inside the Microsoft Graph API, when you use a colon, it's transitioning between the REST API namespace and the user's namespace. So it can be sort of dependent on context. In the case of a drive here, when I'm addressing the root and then I do a colon, that's transitioning me out of the REST API namespace and into the user's hierarchy. So I can specify a file name there, I can specify a folder hierarchy here, and be able to address things all inside this REST path, all without learning how to do any sort of different encoding. I just use standard URL encoding through this method. So in this case, I'm going to address a file that doesn't yet exist. So I'm going to call it ignite2016demo.txt. And then I'm going to use a colon to transition back to the REST API space. And I will say create upload session. And I'm going to post to that endpoint. And I'm going to put in here actually nothing in my body. And when I do that, you'll see I get back this payload that has an upload URL, a expiration date time for when my upload session will end or will expire, and the next expected range of bytes that the graph is wanting me to provide. So I can take this really long URL, and I'll copy it, and go into a new session. And now, because I'm doing an upload here, I don't need authentication anymore. Authentication is actually built into this URL, so I don't need to provide an auth token. But what I do need to provide is the set of content that is going to go into this file. And I'm going to save myself from typing and switch over here and copy and paste some stuff. I'm going to grab the content range header, which tells my Microsoft Graph what the particular fragment I'm writing at this time is. So in this case, I'm going to upload bytes 0 through 41 of a file that contains 84 bytes. And I'm going to set the body of the request to these are the first 42 bytes of a file, and change to put. And so in this case, I will hit go. And you'll see it comes back and says, yep, I got it. It was a 202 accepted. And here are the next expected range of the file that I want to see, bytes 42 through bytes 83. So now Graph knows how big the file is that I'm going to upload, and it knows how much information I still need to provide before that file is complete. So I will go back here and just do another put to that same URL again. And I'm going to change it to say, these are the last 42 bytes of the file. And when I submit this, oh, sorry, I forgot to change the content range header. I'll change this to 42 through 83, and hit submit. And so this time around, it knows that the file is done because those are the last bytes that it was looking for. So you'll see this time around, the status is actually a 201 created, and I get back all of the metadata information about the file that I just created. So you can see I created a file called ignite2016demo.txt and all of the different properties about the file. So this is the way now that you can upload files up to the maximum size that we support in OneDrive for Business, which currently is a 10 gigabyte file. The reason that we have an upload session to do that is you don't want to start uploading a 10 gigabyte file, have that connection fail or time out, and then have to start all over again. So by creating an upload session, you can control how big the fragments that you give us are, to make sure that over whatever connection you have available, whether it be a high-speed, low-latency connection or a low-speed, high-latency connection, that you can ensure that content will still make it there. And we recommend using a fragment size of something on the order of like 4 to 10 megabytes, just to make sure that those fragments will get up there in a reasonable amount of time. And then if for some reason a fragment does fail, you don't have to start all over again from the very beginning. You can roll back and actually ask the server, hey, what set of data do you need me to provide next? And when you do that, you'll get back that expected range header again, and you can continue uploading the file from there. So now you can very easily, very quickly upload files up to the maximum size supported in OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, or SharePoint, all through the Microsoft Graph, which was not previously possible. So the question was, can you do parallel connections? Right now, the file has to be committed sequentially. So you can't actually do the file upload in parallel, but that's a great thing for us to go think about in the future. All right, so what else can I do using Microsoft Graph beyond what I've talked about right now? So the other really cool thing that we see applications do a lot is be able to sync the content in a OneDrive. So I'm going to go back to my experience here. I'm going to switch back to a GET request, and I'm going to say of the root, I want to use the delta function. And I'm going to specify that I want just the top 5 entries. And I'm going to use the select statement, which lets me filter the results that I get back to say, I really only want the ID, the name, the size, and a couple other properties to help me distinguish what type of item I'm getting back from the graph. And when I submit this request, you'll see I get back the information filtered as I asked for. So there's ID, name, folder, and size. So I know that this is the root folder in this case. And then there's a bunch of other folders that come back, like shared with everyone, documents, pictures, and a one file. And you'll see I only got 5 items back because I used the top parameter to ask for 5 items. And then there's the OData Next link, which is how I can continue to get the rest of the contents of this drive. When this is all done, you'll actually get back a different property. Instead of the Next link, you'll get back something called Delta link. And when you do that, you know that A, you have caught up completely to the set of changes that are current in the drive, so your application is current. And you can save that URL for later when you want to come back and know what has changed between the point in time where you last queried and now. This is especially useful if you're using our webhooks feature, which we announced actually is now available in Microsoft Graph as well. So that gives you the ability to get a notification when something has changed in a drive that you're interested in. When that notification comes in, it doesn't actually tell you what has changed in the drive. It just tells you that something has changed in the drive. When you get that notification, you then call Delta using the last URL that you stored and can determine the difference between the drive as you saw it last and the drive now. All of that works across all of the different entry points that we talked about. So it works for group drives, it works for OneDrives, it works for files in a SharePoint team site document library. So you can use the same approach consistently across all of the different endpoints in Microsoft Graph. One other thing I'll point out here, since this is the first time I've used the query parameters, if you were familiar with Graph before or you're familiar with OData, you might have expected me to have to put $top and $select. All of us thought that that wasn't the friendliest way to express those concepts, so we've now removed the requirement to put the dollar sign there. If you put the dollar sign there, that's great. We're not going to break the code that you already have, but now you can have these friendlier looking URLs without having dollar signs spread out throughout everything. So that's Delta. That's how you sync a file. That's how you access files across all the different parts in Graph. What if you want to be able to share a file inside Microsoft Graph? And so if you're familiar with OneDrive or OneDrive for Business or SharePoint, there are two ways of being able to share files with another user. You can use the Get a Link button inside our user experience to get a sharing link, which is just a URL that you can give to anybody, and they can use that URL to access the content. The other way to be able to do it is to actually send an invitation to somebody in particular. So you type in a user or an email address, and OneDrive takes care of sending out an email message to those people that has a link in it that works because they now have an actual permission on that file. Both of those are available through Microsoft Graph. So the first one I'm going to show is actually sending a sharing invitation, sending a sharing link. So I'm going to go reference a file in my drive, again, using the colon syntax to specify a file name. And if I just do a git on this, you'll see that this is an Excel workbook named book.xls. And then I'm going to call the create link method on top of that. And because it's a method, I have to post. And in the body, I'm going to specify what kind of link I want to get. So I'm going to say the type of link I want is an edit link. And the scope of the link in this case is organization. So within OneDrive for Business, we have two different types of links that you can ask for. One is an anonymous link, which is available to anyone, anywhere who has that link. And you may find that a lot of IT organizations think that that is not something that they want their users doing and may have disabled that functionality. So we've recently introduced a second kind of link called a company shareable link, which is same as an anonymous link, but only people who have logged into that same organization can use it. So it's a little bit less permissive than the anonymous link. And through Microsoft Graph, we allow you to specify the scope of the link that you want. So I could say anonymous here, or I can say organization, or I can leave this property off, and in that case, we will generate the default kind of link that IT has specified. So if they've disabled anonymous links, we will return a company shareable link. If they've elected to allow their users to send anonymous links, then we'll return an anonymous link. But when I hit send here, you'll see down at the bottom, I get back a permission object, and in this case, the permission object has a role that indicates that I have write access to this file, and this web URL that gives me permissions to actually get to that file. But let's say your organization has not allowed you to send sharing links, or you want to access a folder, which we don't support sharing links on in OneDrive for Business or Graph. So in that case, we have to use the actual invite flow where we send a sharing invite to that person. So here I'm going to address projects Contoso, which is a folder in my drive. And if I do a get request on this, you'll see that. So here's a bunch of user information, and down here at the bottom, you'll see it's a folder because it has the folder property on it. And I will switch to the REST namespace and call the invite method. And I will say post and scroll back up. And inside the body this time, I need to specify information about the invite that I'm going to send. So I'm going to say it goes to some recipients, and the recipient has an email address that is dspector@odspdevelopers.com. And in addition to that, I'm going to send a message to Darren that says, hi, Darren, here are the files we're working on. And I'm going to say require sign in is true, because in this case, OneDrive for Business requires that when you share a folder, the user is forced to sign in to be able to access that folder. Ah, you're right. Thank you for catching my typo. All right. You guys are saving me time. Thank you very much. And then I will say send invitation, also true, because I actually want Darren to get an email that indicates that I've shared this with him. And then I can go to roles and say I want to give write access to Darren here. And you can specify multiple roles. And for SharePoint, you can actually specify SharePoint roles using SP dot and then the role name. So you're not restricted to just the roles, the read or write roles that we have available, but you could assign somebody as an admin or any of the other roles that are defined inside SharePoint. And when I click send, you'll see that this thinks a little bit. And then it returns back, again, a permission object. In this case, it has a granted to facet added to it that indicates that it was granted to Darren Spector. And it tells me that the role that was granted was write. So in Darren's inbox now is the traditional sharing email that OneDrive generates that has the message that I typed into it and the link that gets him access to this folder. So he now has permissions to this folder through the API. So that's a really simple, easy way to be able to share files using Microsoft Graph. And the invite functionality is also something that is new as of this week in the V1.0 feature. So in the past, we only let you create links, but now, as of this week, you can now actually send the sharing invitations, which lets you share folders for the first time through Microsoft Graph. One last thing I'm gonna show you before I get out of using the REST API is being able to do thumbnails. So a couple things that are new now for OneDrive for Business are being able to get to thumbnails as part of a directory listing, or as part of enumerating the children of a folder. So I'm going to go to groups. All right, I'm going to copy this because I don't want to type that out. It's a giant GUID. I'm going to go here. And I'm going to switch back to Git. And what this is going to do is I'm addressing that group that I was looking at before, the Vroom team group. And I'm just going to get the root children. But this time, I'm going to use the expand query string parameter and say expand thumbnails. And you'll see I don't get an error. And I get back the contents of this particular drive. And you'll see now I'm able to get the thumbnails property here. And this is returning three different thumbnail sizes, large, medium, and small, and these big URLs. And if I click on one of these and copy this and put it in a browser, you'll see actually a very high resolution thumbnail for this Word document. So it looks small here because I'm on a high resolution screen, but that's easy. I'll just go fix it and change the width and height parameters here to something much larger. And you'll see now actually I get back a larger thumbnail. So in the past, we gave you back a little tiny 120 by 120 thumbnail when you did something like this, and you couldn't possibly get a bigger thumbnail. The new Graph API is rolling out right now the ability to get to larger thumbnails. And in fact, instead of changing the URL the way I did it, there is a way through the API to ask for custom sizes. But that functionality is not available just quite yet for this feature. So that will be rolling out over the next quarter, access to all of these high resolution thumbnails, which is really cool. So that is sort of a quick overview of the functionality that's available in Microsoft Graph. Obviously, there's a lot of content out there. If you want to sort of see all of the different APIs that are available, you can now go to graph.microsoft.com and scroll down to the new OneDrive section. And you can see all of the documentation available for drives, drive items, and being able to manage permissions on files. This documentation is a version of the documentation that was available on dev.onedrive.com. So it's the same great documentation content that we've had and that I have focused on improving over the last 2 years that we've been working on this project, because we know in the past that the documentation for working with Microsoft Graph and working for our APIs wasn't always as high quality as we'd like it to be. And so we're really continuing to emphasize the quality of our documentation. And to show how much we really care about that, actually all of our content is available in GitHub. And we take pull requests on the documentation content. So if you find something in our documentation that is wrong, or you find something that you feel like wasn't explained well and you want to explain it better for us, feel free to pop out to GitHub, fork the repository, make your changes, and send us a pull request. And we're super happy when that happens. We'll look at it make sure that we think that's appropriate for all of our customers to have, and then actually get that content published back out online. So we've now open sourced our documentation and made it available for everyone to take with them, to modify, to sort of do what they want using that content under the Creative Commons license that we use for it. And then the other thing I want to show while we're here inside the Graph website is actually the samples and SDKs that we have. So in the past, you might have seen that we had a few code samples for, you know, usually .NET or Windows Universal apps, some code samples for iOS, and some code samples for Android. As a result of all coming together under the Microsoft Graph API, we now have a lot more resources to be able to provide samples and to be able to provide SDKs for a wide number of platforms. So you can see, not only do we have the three that I talked about before, but we now have SDKs available for JavaScript, Python, Ruby, Angular, as well as code samples using the .NET SDK for ASP.NET MVC. PHP is something that we have code samples for using the REST API, and we're working on an SDK. So we have a much broader set of tools and sample code now available to make integrating with Microsoft Graph easier across all of the different platforms that you might be using, which I hope helps everybody spend less time writing HTTP client code and a lot more time actually focusing on what the application that they're trying to do can do. All right. Now I'm going to switch back over here. And just to recap, OneDrive and Microsoft Graph API. So the OneDrive API that we have talked about in the past that applications that you guys have developed is currently using still exists. It's still out there. It's not going away. It's not going to change. But we now consider the Microsoft Graph API to be the best way to connect to OneDrive. And we really recommend that new solutions being built today and new code that you're writing today be built using the Microsoft Graph API instead of the OneDrive API directly. The reasons for that are simple, as I said before. The authentication story is much simpler using Microsoft Graph if you want to target OneDrive for business and OneDrive personal. And the API is solidly consistent across all of the different endpoints that you can access files. So it's less thinking for you as a developer about how our stuff works and more thinking about how your application works. So you'll spend less time building frameworks to talk to Graph and more time actually building the logic in your application, which I think we all agree is great. So that's the rich API that we have made available. Now I'm going to shift gears a little bit and talk about extending the OneDrive user experience. So everything I've talked to up until now is really about bringing content in OneDrive down into your application or taking content from your application and getting it into OneDrive. But all of those are experiences that take place inside your application. What if you want to have a different experience or a more complete experience? So users aren't always living inside your application. Sometimes they're living in our application. Sometimes they're on the OneDrive website or they're in our various clients. What is a developer to do in that case? How do you go solve that problem? So today we're introducing a very early technology preview for something that we're calling File Handlers V2. So if you're familiar with file handlers, we announced them 2 years ago at TechEd in Barcelona. And those were an easy way for you as an application developer to have a proprietary file type in OneDrive or in SharePoint and handle a few basic experiences for that proprietary file type. You could have the user click on a file and be able to open and have us launch your application. You could do a little tiny thumbnail preview that appeared in the information pane. And you could have a new file experience, so you could be added to the new file dropdown. That was great, but there were some limitations, like what if you wanted to extend an Office document file format, or you wanted to add commands to a file that we already knew how to do. You couldn't do that in that format because it wasn't proprietary. Or what if you wanted to integrate with new modern OneDrive experiences like our 1UP previewer that we've been showing this week? That wasn't available either. So File Handlers V2 fixes or is a response to the feedback that we've heard from developers adopting File Handlers V1, which now, building on top of what File Handlers already had, allows you to add your own custom actions to any file type across OneDrive for Business or SharePoint. So now you can add your own custom buttons for a particular file type. You can also act on folders now. So in the past, it was specific to a type of file that you wanted to do. You can now say, when the user selects multiple files of these particular file types or multiple files of any file type, I want my button to be available. Or if the user selects a folder, I want my button to be available. So you can really now use the file handlers to extend any experience for any file across OneDrive and SharePoint. This isn't available to you guys yet, so you can't go home and play with it right away, but it's coming really soon, and we wanted to make sure that everybody knew about it while we were here at Ignite and give you a quick demo. And to build this up and make sure that we were really solving the scenario that developers were looking for, we partnered with one of our ISV partners who did a really great integration with the OneDrive APIs, and that's actually with Adobe. So I'm going to ask Jonathan Herbach from Adobe Systems to come up and show you guys the integration that he's built, he and his team have built using File Handlers V2 with Adobe Acrobat.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan. We're thrilled to be here today. As Ryan mentioned, we're really working closely with Microsoft to build solutions that will benefit our joint customers. And as Satya and Shantanu explained in Monday's keynote, Adobe and Microsoft are building a strategic partnership to help customers accelerate their digital transformation. File handlers enable tightly integrated scenarios, and these are concrete steps to reinvent productivity and business processes. Adobe introduced PDF almost 25 years ago, and while it's been a great success for Adobe, more important is that PDF is an ISO industry standard, embraced within Office 365 and beyond. We know that there are billions and billions of PDFs being used in the world for secure document exchange, collaboration, and communication. And so today's key message is that with file handlers, we can do more to enable modern productivity for PDFs. Earlier this year, we brought in our desktop integration from Adobe Acrobat and Reader, adding connectors to OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, and SharePoint for over a billion machines. And we and our customers have been thrilled with the result. I think in the first week alone, we saw over 1,000 enterprises.
Different organizations who came on board. Yep.
Yeah, it's been great for us. And more importantly, that integration has been a key building block for other enterprises' productivity. And now with file handlers in OneDrive, we can do more to enable modern productivity for PDF. As you'll see, file handlers make life better for three key audiences. One, for developers. Two, for enterprise IT. And three, for end users. For developers, know that our data shows us that great integrations accelerate mutual active use. And file handlers make great integrations possible and easy. Why? Well, look at it from an enterprise perspective. They're already invested in OneDrive, a secure cloud platform for collaboration. End users are going to love how file handler integrations make it super simple to switch and from one application within OneDrive and finish their workflow in another without any sort of context switching that they've done today. And all of this while the documents remain secure, managed by IT, all within OneDrive. So today, I'm going to show you how that works with the Adobe Document Cloud and our PDF solutions. Our Acrobat web solutions for PDF have been available to individuals and enterprises for years, enabling digital document creation, collaboration, and review. And the file handler prototype that we've built leverages that to bridge from OneDrive to the Adobe Document Cloud. Let me illustrate that with a concept, and then we'll demonstrate that running live here today. So with file handlers, we can really do more. The key thing I'm going to show you over four quick visuals here. A user is going to start off within OneDrive, and they're going to access a document and choose to open it within Adobe Acrobat Web, building on the file handler concept. And they'll be brought into the Adobe Document Cloud. They'll see multiple tools where they can go ahead and edit the PDF, perhaps organizing the pages, rearranging things, extracting content, adding comments, filling in a form, or signing it. And all of that seamlessly happens within the web, starting from OneDrive, and the changes will be reflected back within OneDrive. It's a straightforward concept, but it's made possible with file handlers. And so you see, with a different file perhaps, again, starting in OneDrive, opening it in the web, switching over, filling in a form, signing it, and moving on, all staying electronic within OneDrive, SharePoint, or OneDrive for Business. So before I show you this working live, let me just set some additional context for the demo. Instead of Contoso, we're working with a company called Raiden Sama. Raiden Sama manufactures and sells electrical supplies. So we'll see three different demos, and this is going to illustrate the breadth and depth that's possible with file handlers. All right, so we're starting off here within OneDrive, logged in as an end user, and we're going to play the role of an account executive who needs to take a document that's perhaps an existing company brief and turn it into a simplified version that describes a product, a simplified version that will be used with customers. So if we start off and we click on the file, as you can imagine, we can click on open and open it directly within the Acrobat web. So behind the scenes, the Adobe Document Cloud is securely reaching out to OneDrive to grab the file to process it. And this is a really simple but common scenario with PDFs. We're going to start with the document, and we're going to condense the document in some form. Here we have the presentation. We'll click on Organize Pages. And while we're starting off with a single file here, you can imagine that we could have started with multiple documents that we had to aggregate together, a really common scenario. In fact, just last week, I was meeting with a customer that's a municipality, and they've got public safety officers who do this all the time. They take multiple documents, combine them together into a packet, a binder, that show ongoing casework that they then have to distribute and communicate. So now that this is ready, we'll see this is an 8-page document, and I'm going to get rid of some of the sort of the customer-facing fluff that maybe we don't really need in the context of this customer briefing. So we'll delete some of the sales data. Let's get rid of the sort of company overview, rearrange the pages a little bit here. And you know, I'm going to notice that this lightning rod, which is one of the products that Raiden Sama sells, is actually horizontal. So let's just rotate that here. So created a new simple document that we're going to save back to OneDrive. So we'll click Save. And we'll name the file the ever so creative RS Customer Brief 1. And we'll see, here we go. So we've got the new file sitting here back within OneDrive. So really simple concept, right? Seamless end user flow that allows you to take content, modify it, and bring it back. So a second quick sort of example here. We're going to take an office document. And instead of opening that, perhaps, as you might normally do within Word Online, we're going to actually go and choose an action. Perhaps from here, or also there's another affordance down here if I go to Actions. And I can run Create PDF by Adobe. Now again, a really simple example. We go ahead and pull that into the Document Cloud, create a PDF, and this is the sort of headless version. You can imagine that a more common scenario might be to add a password, add watermarks, before this document is actually distributed out. And if we view the converted file, we've got a simple PDF version of the Raiden Sama enterprise onboarding. Simple use case, right? And if we refresh, here it is, back within OneDrive. So, not only can you open documents, but we have the new action concept with file handlers where you can embed custom things. So just finally, if I click on this order form, playing a different role, here I'm actually a customer who needs to go ahead and fill in this form and order some content from Raiden Sama. So again, I'll click on actions, and we'll see the new fill and sign by Adobe. So again, a super simple concept. Instead of trying to print out a document, fill it in, sign it, and send it back, we can actually bring it into the Document Cloud and do it electronically. You know, it was funny. I was taking an Uber earlier this week here in Atlanta, talking to the driver for a bit and found out that she uses OneDrive in her business. She's a property manager at a local real estate firm. And she does this all the time with PDFs, except she has to download it down to her desktop, fill in the form, print it out. And she would love this feature. So here, now that it's ready, what I'm going to do is, instead of being an employee of Raiden Sama, I'll be a customer. Let's say I work for our friends at Contoso. So I can actually type in Contoso here. And this is not a predefined form with automatic fields. This just looks like a form. And the Adobe AI is actually figuring out where to allow me to drag and drop or fill in information. And I've done this a little bit before, so I'll actually just drag my name into the contact so I don't have to type it again. Maybe we'll actually put in the address here for Contoso's new San Jose office. And can fill in the phone number as well. All right, so, and again, we'll order some of the new lightning rod package with installation, please. And we've got a really big building here at Contoso, so we'll actually order several additional lightning rods. Simple concept, all starting with file handlers. Oh, but of course, maybe I need to sign the document as well, so I can just drag and drop in my signature. And let's make it a little bit bigger, in fact. Okay, so I can save the file, and it will result back within OneDrive as well. So really simple stuff here, right? All starting within OneDrive. And the key concept here is that with file handlers, Adobe can do more to enable modern productivity. File handlers let users open documents or execute verbs, actions, directly from the document library or from preview experiences. And with the Adobe Document Cloud, they can seamlessly create or edit PDFs or fill in and sign forms, all directly from within OneDrive, OneDrive for Business, or SharePoint with easy-to-use integrated experiences. So as you've seen today, we're really excited about the expanded user scenarios that are made possible by file handlers, and we hope you will be too. Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. So now that Jonathan has shown you all of the great user scenarios that are available by building one of these file handlers, I'm going to show you how to actually go about building one of these out. So again, I'm going to be using Visual Studio Code here, and I have an existing project that I've started with using one of the version 1 file handler templates. So since this is version 2 of the existing file handler feature, everything builds off of the concepts that you already know. However, the big change here is that instead of using just a get and put URL, which is what we gave you in file handlers v1, we now actually give you a graph API URL. That API gives you the full access of the Microsoft Graph functionality that I was talking about earlier to use with your file handler. It also gives us the ability to say multiple files or folders that were selected and provide the URLs for all of the content that was selected by the user. So, within my file handler here, I have an ASP.NET MVC app that I have implemented, and I just have a file handler control, which is part of the template. And there's a method inside the template called getActivationParameters, which actually handles getting back the information from the file handler code. And you'll see I get back culture name, so I know the locale of the user, what language they were using inside Microsoft Office 365. So I can match the user experience that I'm providing to the user experience that they had within OneDrive in this case. I get a client, so file handlers are available across the different services as well. This will tell you OneDrive or SharePoint or Exchange for file handlers that come from Exchange. And then I get the graph URL, as I said before, as item. And something else new that we return back is user ID. So one of the big pieces of feedback that we heard was when we launched a file handler, there was no way to know who the user was on Office 365 that was making this call, which made it hard to do any sort of connection between sign-in in your app and sign-in in Office 365. So we now return the UPN or the email address for the user who has invoked this flow so that you can understand which user is coming over across the pipe. Simply, after you give the activation parameters, now you can do whatever workflow that you need to do on top of that. So the sample that I'm going to build here to show you guys is actually a compress files example, or add to zip, which I think Omar demoed on Monday in his big talk. What this add-in does is it lets you select a number of different files from inside the OneDrive experience, and when you register excuse me, when you register the file handler, which I'll go show you what that looks like. When you register the file handler, you specify what types of files you want to know. So you specify an extension for how the file handler should appear on, which in this case, I'm just using star to say, I want this file handler to be available on everything. And then inside this actions collection, I specify a number of different actions that I'm enabling through my file handler. Now, you're probably looking at this file and you're saying like, man, there's JSON encoded as a string inside JSON, what's up with that? As I said, this is a technology preview. We're not actually making this available yet because of things like this that we need to go fix. So later this quarter, in the last quarter of this year is when this will be available to developers, and this experience will be improved significantly so that you don't have to think about string encoding JSON inside another JSON blob. I wouldn't do that to you, I promise. But inside here, I am actually adding a new, where is it? Here's my add to zip. So I specify the title of my action as add to zip file. I provide the URL that I want to be invoked when the user clicks on my button. I can specify a platform for where my button should be available, which right now is web, but you know that might hint at something else in the future. And then I can specify the selection, things like single or multiple selection, and whether or not I allow the user to select folders within my action. So the OneDrive for Business website itself understands all of these parameters and ensures that the actions that you have registered here only appear when the right criteria are met. So for multiple selection, that means one or more files. Allow folders means that if I have no files selected, it will actually work on the folder that the user is in, or if the user selects a folder, that was the folder that we intended. This metadata is then uploaded through the Graph API to the Active Directory object that represents your application, which I'm not going to show you today because by the time you guys get to actually have this experience, there'll be a nice web app that you can use as part of our developer experience to upload these properties. But that's the registration process for one of these. When it's all done, we're going to actually call out to your URL, which in this case, as an MVC app, is mapped to this compress files function. And inside that, I'm going to invoke something that I've created in a new class called addActionToZip. And if I switch over and look at that, you'll see right in here, we're just going to do work based on the source item URLs, which are those graph URLs that have been provided to me, and an access token, which has been provided to me as well. And now, if you're looking really closely and the font resolution is right, you'll see in my example here, I'm actually using the OneDrive SDK and not the Graph SDK. This is the other reason that I'm not letting you guys be able to preview this or play with this right now, is that the URL we're returning today is actually the Graph APIs, but on SharePoint instead of the Graph APIs through Microsoft Graph. I will clean all of that up for you, and it will be just Graph APIs by the time we release this next quarter. Anyway, really simple here for creating a zip file. I'm going to create a memory stream. I'm going to use the .NET implementation of zip archive on top of that memory stream to create a new zip archive. And then for each of the URLs that I was given by the file handler framework, I'm going to go make a GET request for that file, make sure that it's a file that makes sense, and then add it to my zip archive. And in this case, if for some reason fails, I will output something to my debug string so I can know what's going on. But that's it. There's no complex code here. There's nothing that is unfamiliar. There's still just using the regular SDKs for Microsoft Graph or OneDrive to be able to access these files. There's nothing special that you have to do that's different when using a file handler in V2 than what you would be used to using the OneDrive API for your other integrations. And now when I run this sample, I go back here and I'm going to take all of these files that Jonathan had, and I'm going to say actions add to zip. And this is going to call out to my website and blow up badly. Okay, let me switch over to my backup window here and try this one more time. So I'm going to take all of these files, and I'll say add to zip. And my code's going to run. It's going to queue a job, actually, to take care of this as an asynchronous process, because obviously working on a bunch of different files at the same time can take some time. And when it's all done, I'm going to come back here and have a zip file in my OneDrive, except that my browser is frozen. There we go. Okay, so now it's actually running the job. So it's going out using the SDK to download all of the files that I have selected from the Microsoft Graph, convert them into an archive, and then it will upload that archive back into OneDrive for Business. Or at least it would have if, you know, the internets were working better. Well, all right, this is why it's still in preview and why we're not releasing it just today, but check out graph.microsoft.com and dev.onedrive.com starting in the fourth quarter of this calendar year for more information on how to start building these things and be able to play with them and really start taking advantage of extending the OneDrive user experience to simplify end-user scenarios and connect the great functionality in your application into the OneDrive user experience and really make it seamless for users to work between OneDrive web and your own applications. So just to recap the new functionality that's available for file handlers, you can now work on add actions to any file. In the past, in file handlers, you were restricted to only working on your proprietary file types. As you saw with Jonathan's demo, you can now extend PDF and add actions to PDF. You can also extend the Office document file formats and add actions to them, like convert to PDF. So we now let you actually put actions on top of any file that's available in OneDrive for Business and SharePoint. You can also continue to do the things that you could do in V1, like have an open experience, an edit experience, and a new file experience to extend your own file types and really bring those into the web, not just partying on files that are already there. And then because we're not giving you just get and put URLs anymore, but we're giving you a Microsoft Graph API URL, you have full API access to the items, either using the auth token that we provide, which gives you access to only the selected item, or by getting the user to authenticate your app for broader permissions and being able to do things like what Jonathan showed you by writing files next to the original file. And then the other thing that you may not have noticed because of the demo here, but improved performance as well. It used to be with file handlers that when you click on a file, we would take you to a page that said, hang on, SharePoint's working on it. We don't do that anymore. We can now just get you right into the application and make this a streamlined experience for your users. So that's file handlers. That's coming over the next quarter, and we're really excited about it because I think it really enables great, rich user integration or user scenarios being able to integrate your features into the OneDrive experience. So now I want to talk about the API roadmap and where we're going next. So today, Microsoft Graph API is the recommended entry point for integrating files across Office 365. OneDrive Personal, OneDrive for Business, SharePoint Team Sites, Group Files. Everywhere that there are files across the Microsoft Office 365 experience, you can now use the Graph API to get to that content. We're also starting to roll out the new enhanced thumbnails for OneDrive and SharePoint. So the functionality that I was showing you today, being able to get high-resolution thumbnails, is coming to all of the tenants over the next couple of weeks, which will really let you start to have rich previews for not just images, but all different file formats, just like the OneDrive experience has. Over the next quarter, we're going to be bringing File Handlers V2 as a preview, which will work for OneDrive for Business and the SharePoint web experiences. And we're going to be bringing tags, the tagging feature that OneDrive Personal has, into Microsoft Graph as well. And then over the next year, we're going to continue to roll out File Handlers for OneDrive Personal, which is a big improvement. We didn't have that available previously. We're also going to be working on something called client credentials authentication, which several of you have asked me about in the past, which is the ability to, without a user context, use the OneDrive API to access all of the content within the tenant, which is something that we supported on the SharePoint APIs, but not on the OneDrive APIs, and that will be coming soon. We're also working on custom metadata extensions. So if you were in my talk yesterday, you saw how you can now use the Microsoft Graph to access list columns. Because you can look at document libraries as both lists and files. Obviously, being able to access custom columns will be important in the OneDrive API as well as something that we're looking at where applications can define their own custom metadata that's not user-facing. So being able to write your own properties on files that are private to your application or private to application space without actually being surfaced in the user experience. As well as a new feature called private application data, which will provide a unique space outside of the user's OneDrive for your application to store data, where if you have private application data or specific settings that you want to roam across all of OneDrive for Business or OneDrive Personal or store securely, we'll now create a space for your application to have that content stay within our service. And another top ask that I've heard from multiple people in this room as well is the ability to access file versions. So everybody knows in SharePoint document libraries and in OneDrive for Business, we keep versions of the file as every change is made. But through the Files API today, there's no way to get to that content. You can only get to the latest version or the checked out version, depending on what document library you're in. We want to make it really easy for your applications to use the Graph API to get to old versions, as well as understand check-in, check-out state, and manage all of the different scenarios around versioning. The other really exciting thing that I have saved until the absolute last possible second in this talk is that OneDrive API is coming to SharePoint on-premises. So all of the functionality that we had talked about prior to today was only available against SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business in the cloud. We heard lots of feedback about how developers wanted to be able to access that same API on SharePoint on-prem as well. So in SharePoint 2016 Feature Pack 1, we have now brought the OneDrive API down to the on-premises server and it is available. So now you can use one API to target both SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises, which is great. And we're really excited to have that available as part of Feature Pack 1. So that's the end of the bulk of this talk. Additional resources, I want to make sure that everybody knows where to go to find out more. So the Microsoft Graph website, graph.microsoft.io, is where all of the documentation for the Graph API is. It's where you can find samples for everything that I've talked about today. You can download the SDKs for integrating with Microsoft Graph and make it really easy to get up and going. GitHub.com/OneDrive is where you can find a bunch of OneDrive-specific samples, as well as dev.onedrive.com, where you can learn things like how to use our file picker SDKs that I mentioned up front to quickly integrate your application with OneDrive. And then the Microsoft Graph organization on GitHub has a bunch of really great content out there. And if you have suggestions on improving the OneDrive developer experience or improving files API in Microsoft Graph, our OneDrive user voice is a great place to provide suggestions and upvote existing suggestions that are there. And then the whole product team, the whole API product team is constantly out on both GitHub and Stack Overflow looking at people's questions and engaging with the developers who are using this stuff. So if you go to Stack Overflow and go to questions tagged OneDrive, you can find us answering people's questions and making sure that we know what problems are being encountered out there so we can improve our documentation or improve our APIs to make this stuff easier for everyone. So with that, there's 10 minutes left for us to have some Q&A. If you have any questions, please use a microphone so I don't have to repeat you. And as always, please fill out your session evaluation. And thanks for staying until Friday and coming to this talk. I really appreciate it.
All right, just a quick question on the Adobe integration. So the option where you can go and edit an Adobe file and save it back into OneDrive, we saw that it's stored as a separate file. Is it possible to store that on top of the existing file or in future probably add as a new version?
Yeah, I will speak for Jonathan. The prototype that we have built just sort of was demoing some of the new functionality that's available in file handlers, so it just saves it back as a separate file. But there's nothing within the API that we have that would prevent a developer from doing that. And I think as we take the prototype from prototype into actual production experience, we'll certainly have a different or a richer experience about choosing how to save files back to OneDrive.
Thank you.
Cool. I think that's it. I'll be up here if you have more questions for me. But thank you, everyone.